Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Judah vs. Malignaggi conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Marilyn Severs. Marilyn, please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We have Zab Judah and Polly Malignaggi that are going to be available to talk to you and answer your questions about the fight, their fight next week, December 7th, at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. I'm going to turn it now over to Richard Schaefer, the Chief Executive Officer at Golden Boy Promotions, to make the introductions. Richard?
Thank you, Marilyn, and hello to all the media members out there. I'm really excited. I've just been talking before a little bit with Zab and with Polly. I know it's freezing cold in New York, but those two guys are certainly going to heat up the Barclays Center. It has been a terrific year for Showtime. It has been the best year in boxing history for Showtime, and Showtime is not ending this year with one bang, but with two bangs. And the first one, of course, will be December 7th here with Judah and Malignaggi. We are all excited. We are all anxiously awaiting this great fight. It's part of a quadruple header. There are three world title fights with Pika and Anthony Birrell for the WBC super middleweight title. There is Landy Lara against Austin Trout for the WBA super welterweight title. And then Devin Alexander and Sean Porter for the IBF welterweight title. And then even though it's not the world title, it's maybe the belt and the title which matters most. It's the Battle of Brooklyn. It's for pride in Brooklyn, and it's going to be an unbelievable night of boxing. A little bit of everything. Some of the best talent in those respective weight classes are going to be showcasing what they are all about and in meaningful fights. So truly a big thank you to Showtime, Steven Espinosa, Leslie Munoz, Matthew Blank, for stepping up and bringing this, deliver this card to fight fans in the U.S. and around the world. For Barclays Center, it has been a terrific year as well. It has been the biggest year in their boxing, in their short boxing history, and it was no other than Polly Malignaggi, who opened up last October the building in the inaugural boxing event at the Barclays Center by decisioning. So a big year for Barclays Center as well. I want to thank Brad Yormark for what he has done to bring boxing back in Brooklyn, and that he has done every one of those events since. We've seen more and more people embracing the sport, showing up at the Barclays Center, and basically we're going from one record crowd to the next, and that's exactly what I anticipate here for this big night on December the 7th, the new record crowd for the Barclays Center. Tickets are still available for as little as $25, and I think that sort of like has become a hallmark for Golden Boy, pricing tickets that everybody can afford it. And to see that kind of lineup, I just talked to you guys, for $25 is really unheard of. And so tickets are available at $25, $50, $75, $125, and the highest price ticket is $250. I mean, what an unbelievable deal to see this this great card. Want to quickly thank our sponsors as well, Corona, AT&T, Casamigos Tequila, and The Grudge Match, a movie which will be coming out in December. So I want to thank our sponsors. And now I'd like to move on and introduce to you Zab Super Judah. It doesn't really need much introductions. He's certainly one of the best-known names in the sport of boxing. He's a five-time and two-division world champion. He's the former undisputed welterweight world champion, has wins against some of the biggest names in the sport, has won the last six of his last seven bouts, and had obviously an amazing fight, a great fight, where he showed his skills and his speed and his ring savvy this past April when he fought the much younger Danny Garcia. So just an amazing fighter, always exciting, and that is exactly what the sport wants and needs. He knows what's at stake here. It's not just the pride of Brooklyn, but the 147-pound weight class is the deepest weight class. The biggest names are fighting there, and that's exactly what Zab Judah wants. He knows he needs to beat Paulie Malignaggi to go and move on to those big world title fights. And it's a pleasure now for me to introduce to you Zab Super Judah from Brooklyn, New York. Zab?
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
Any comments on training camp? Give us your thoughts. And
Training camp has been fun. Training camp has been fun. We had a great training camp here in Las Vegas, and a lot of good preparation. And I'm just excited just to come back home and be called the King of BK.
Great. Thank you, Zab. Before we're going to be opening it up for questions, I'd like to introduce now to you a man which doesn't need much introduction either, talking about well-known fighters, fighters who have a brand and a name which extends beyond the sport of boxing. Paulie Malignaggi certainly fits in there. He is one of the most skilled fighters, always comes to win, has a tremendous personality outside of the ring as well. We, of course, know him as well, all as the color commentator on Showtime Championship Boxing. I think whatever he does, he always strives to be on top. And I think there's no question that Paulie Malignaggi is today the best color commentator in the sport. But it doesn't stop there. Paulie still has unfinished business in the ring. He realizes as well that that what a win against Zab Judah is going to do to him in that very stacked weight class. So he's going to come and he's going to come to win, and it's always great to have Paulie Malignaggi on a boxing card. It is a pleasure now for me to introduce to you the former two-time, two-division world champion, Paulie Magic Man Malignaggi from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, well, what's up, guys? It's been a good camp. It's a pleasure being on with everyone once again. I really look forward to mixing it with Zab, giving Brooklyn hopefully we get a sold-out crowd or, like Richard said, a record crowd for Barclays Arena in boxing. To this point, I'm really looking forward to mixing it with Zab and putting on a great show for Brooklyn, you know. I know he's got a lot of support in Brooklyn. I know I got a lot of support in Brooklyn. We got a great supporting cast on the undercard. I mean, I think this has the potential to be the most spectacular card that the Barclays Arena has put on yet, and we've had some very good cards at the Barclays Arena as it is already. So, you know, for us to, if we can really put ourselves at the top of that list as far as the best card, the most sold out, the most sold ticket-wise to the public, the most exciting, the most anticipated card at Barclays Arena, I think me and Zab will have done a good job. And like I said, I look forward to mixing it with him, seeing who really is the King of Brooklyn for this generation. And, you know, I've prepared very well for that.
Great. Thank you very much, Paulie. Operator, we'd like to open it up now to the media for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Hello, guys. It's good to talk to you today. I'd like you both to answer this question, if you don't mind. Start with you, Zab. You guys are both from Brooklyn. You've both been, well-known fighters in that area for a long time, fighting in the same weight classes. And I wonder, how long ago did it cross your minds that this fight would probably be inevitable?
For myself, this fight came about, after the Garcia fight, you know, in my preparation of moving forward and do what I do, you know, I mean, they said Paulie, and I was like, Paulie, nah, Paulie, my homeboy. I was like, you know, hey, I mean, this is an opportunity that you got to take for boxing, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, and you know, so I guess we're here now, you know. I mean, like I said, this is a fight that there's no animosity or anything like that. It's just, hey, we're going in there and we're representing for our city.
And Paulie?
Yeah, I think my words pretty much echo the sentiments of Zab. You know, for a lot of years, you know, I came up behind Zab. He kind of laid the building blocks for us younger Brooklyn fighters in this same generation. You know, he was kind of ahead of all of us, and he was kind of the guy to look up to and to try to match his accomplishments. You know, really crossing paths with him didn't come to mind. Mainly, we were in different weight classes. Also, we were at different parts of our career at various times, you know, and really, you know, started hearing grumblings, you know, people start mentioning it, talking around Brooklyn in the past year or two, I'd say, you know, but I still didn't think the fight really had any opportunity of happening, you know, because we were still in different weight classes, kind of had different goals for each of our careers, and, you know, I guess we each took a competitive loss in the last fight and kind of, you know, it's kind of a situation where you kind of got to take a step back in a way from world title fights, but this isn't such a big step back because we're still world class, even with no world title on the line. So it kind of made a lot of sense from that perspective and also the perspective of both being from Brooklyn. So, you know, until the fight was actually made, I really didn't think it would be more than just Brooklyn talk, and that's all, you know, just people talking about, hey, what would happen if those two would fight? And even before the last couple of years, I didn't really hear much talk about it. So I'd say in the last couple of years, you know, I'd say people started getting in my ear that, you know, people in Brooklyn wanted to see what would happen if Paulie Malignaggi and Zab Judah got in the ring with each other. So
did you kind of think – oh, go ahead. Sorry, Paulie.
No, and that's about it.
I was going to ask you, it seemed to me that maybe – I kind of thought at some point you might fight each other a long time ago, but when the combination of Golden Boy – going to Barclays Center when it was opening and becoming the regular fight promoter in that, you know, big new arena, combined with the fact that then they signed Zab, I wondered if at that point Zab or Paulie, when the combination of them having the arena and then Zab coming to the company kind of made that an obvious fight for Brooklyn.
Well, Zab just got signed, I think, after the Garcia fight, right, Zab? That,
yeah.
So,
like we just said, I mean, this was all a recent thing. I mean, once Zab got signed, it was in the last few months. So yeah, of course, that's when the fight got brought up. And of course, that's like we just said. You know, it kind of up until recently, I didn't think it would happen. But then, of course, when Zab got signed, yeah, in the last few months is when it kind of started to come to fruition.
All right, now both of you guys, when you have had your big fights, and you've both been in a lot of them. Each of you has had, in the build-up to the fight, oftentimes sort of a chip on your shoulder. You find something to be motivated by. You know, there's been trash talk between Paulie and some of your opponents, same with you, Zab, and your opponents. I know you guys have a lot of respect for each other and that you like each other, I think, anyway. So not a lot of trash talk in this fight. I know you mentioned it in the opening remarks. Is it a little bit more difficult, then, to motivate yourself or to get geared up for this fight because – you guys do have a lot of respect and seemingly a good relationship with each other outside of the ring.
For myself, you know, my motivation comes from just, you know what I'm saying, just the opportunity of still being here 18 years strong, you know what I'm saying, to be competitive against young fighters like Paulie Malignaggi, you know what I'm saying, Danny Garcia, and to still be campaigning at a high level of boxing. I mean, and to be crowned the king of BK, I mean, that's a very big accomplishment coming from Brooklyn. I mean, you know, there's one thing that a lot of people will tell you, you know, there's a pride about being from Brooklyn. And, you know, now we got an opportunity of a sport that I've been in for the last 18 years of my life to be called the king of it. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of excited for this one. And that's where the motivation it comes from.
No smack from you either in this fight.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, man? The competition drives us all, you know? I think the reason we do this, we get up in the morning and go train, and we train our asses off and train hard for each and every fight. It puts us at this stage in our careers, you know, that, you know, we look back at our careers and we've had some good careers, you know, championship-level fights. We've accomplished some good things. You know, you need different things to drive you. You know, the competition always is a driving force. You know, the competitor in me, for sure, is driven by, you know, winning. Winning means everything to me. You know what I mean? Zab is someone I respect and, you know, I looked up to coming up, but, you know, winning means everything to me. You know, I'm a competitor in anything I do, especially boxing, something I worked so hard for all these years as well. So you know, it's not hard to get up for a fight like this. You can still respect your opponent and still get up for a fight. Plus, come on, man. Dane, we're wearing 8-ounce gloves. I mean, once somebody gets hit and the other guy gets hit, I mean, I'm sure we'll both be throwing all other at each other.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
One other quick thing from you guys. I know you both want to win really bad to advance your careers and also, like Brzab said, be the king of BK. But how devastating would it be to lose this fight? I know it's hard to lose any fight, but to lose this fight in your hometown, arena, to the other guy from your hometown. I know that's got to be difficult, and somebody's probably taken an L, unless it's a draw. So any thoughts about how hard that would be mentally to deal with, Paulie?
I think it's more, you know, I think it's more for the fans. You know, I think it's hard to go back to your fans and say, oh, man, you know, you're not the best fighter in your borough. You know, I think the motivation is from there. You know, you fight guys from all different cities, and you rep your hood, you rep your city real good. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I get announced out of Brooklyn, New York, regardless of where I've been living during my career, you know, because of a sense of pride, you know. To hear the other guy also get announced out of Brooklyn, New York, you know, it's a sense of inner pride, you know, within the borough, within the city, you know, you got to run into people's fans. You know, you could run into the other guy's fans. You don't run into, you know, I don't run into Adrian Broner fans in New York. You know what I'm saying? I don't run into, you know, other people's fans in New York, you know, but, you know, I can run into Zab's fans in New York, you know, and, you know, you don't want to kind of face them, or you don't want to kind of face your own fans and have to say, oh, man, you know what, I was second best. So, you know, that in and of itself is a mini motivator as well.
And Zab, yourself, on that same question, to deal with
I mean, like Paulie said, I mean, you know, what drives the motivation of what we're doing right now. That's it. I mean, I'm motivated, like I said again, by opportunity, motivated by the situation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Paul is somebody that, you know, I knew for a long time. Watch him grow, and you know, even a lot of fights, I've even supported him. You know what I mean? So now, it's kind of crazy we're going up against each other, but hey, this is a sport that we chose, and like he said, you know, once the bell rings, and the leather start flying, I mean, I think that anybody will come to their senses.
All right, fellas, appreciate your time. Look forward to this one next week. See you guys up there.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Nube Urgeles with El
Diario. So tomorrow, you want to give me a call, okay?
Okay. Hi to both of you. Esa pregunta es para Poli del Diario. Por eso te voy a hacer en español.
Sí, sí.
Tú vienes de una, los dos vienen de derrotas, pero los dos lucieron muy bien en ambas peleas. ¿Qué es lo que el aficionado va a ver de ti en esta pelea?
Yo pienso que los aficionados se pueden esperar mucha emoción de mí, mucho corazón. Yo peleo con todo mi corazón en todas mis peleas, pero para esto pienso que tengo más emociones porque es para una pelea para Brooklyn, una pelea para el rey de la ciudad de Nueva York, de Brooklyn. Y para esto yo pienso que soy muy listo y muy emocionado para esa oportunidad.
Obviamente tú estás enfocado en esto. Una victoria te daría otra oportunidad. Mucha gente dijo que tú estabas acabado. Y tú resurgiste y volviste a ser campeón mundial. ¿Tienes eso en mente?
Sí, mucha gente habla, la gente siempre habla, pero para mí las opiniones de la gente no me pienso tanto. En el principio de mi carrera yo pensaba a las opiniones de la gente y muchas veces te duelen porque la gente no piensa que tú eres un buen boxeador o no tienes bastante cosas en el ring, en el cuadrilátero para ganar tus peleas importantes. Pero para ahora, en este momento de mi carrera, yo fui campeón del mundo dos veces. A mí no me interesa mucho la opinión de la gente, las cosas que la gente piensa. Yo soy quien soy. Yo sé quién soy yo. Y yo soy un boxeador de nivel mundial y que puede ganar esa pelea y ganar un otro título mundial en mi futuro.
Muchas gracias y te deseo lo mejor.
Do you want to translate, Marilyn, or anybody?
He basically asked me, like, what, you know, what does this fight mean to me? And I said, you know, it's a really emotional fight. You know, it means the king of Brooklyn. You know, it's a kind of fight you get up to because, you know, there's a lot of big fights in your career, but there's a lot of extra emotion being able to represent your borough and being able to be the king of Brooklyn. And then she asked me about, you know, people's opinions. A lot of times people thought I was finished in my career. You know, how does that opinion affect me? And I basically said, you know, the opinions of people don't affect me anymore. You know, I know I have what it takes to be a world-class fighter. I know I have what it takes to get myself back to the top. And, you know, winning a fight like this and getting myself a chance to, you know, get yet another world championship in my career is something I don't doubt.
Very impressed with your Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, very.
Okay.
All right, once again, if you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That will place you in the question queue. Our next question comes from Lem Satterfield with TheRankTV.com.
Hey, yeah, I echo Richard's comments. Very impressive Spanish. Zab, Paulie told me about a time when he was about 18 years old, and you were already either a champion or close to being a champion, and you coached him as an amateur. He said he lost the fight, but, you know, he's always looked up to you. Do you remember that, and do you remember what you thought of him as a fighter back then?
Yeah, number one, I thought he won the fight. I thought he won the fight from my recollection. And, you know, even back then as an amateur, I mean, he had heart. He was gutsy. You know, he came out, he was very scrappy, you know what I mean? And, you know, I recall that year we kind of pulled out a lot of champions that year. So I think that Paulie did win the fight that year. Am I right, Paulie?
Yeah, no, I didn't win that fight. I lost a dog to him. He's a big rival of mine, but we won the team trophy. You know, Lem Zab was the team coach, and we won the team trophy as a team. The New York City team did at the Empire State Games.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. This next question is for both of you. You know, obviously you guys fought at the highest level, both as 140-pounders and 47-pounders. At what point, first, Zach, if you could answer, at what point do you think you were at the absolute best in your career, whether at 40 or 47? I'm inclined to say the Corey Spinks fight, but what is your take? And then what was so good about you at that point in your career and what was right?
I would probably say my Mickey Ward fight. I was 15-0. I mean, I was highly motivated. I mean, that was one training camp. I remember, you know, Ronnie Shields and my dad. We had a tough training camp. I was only 15-0. I remember taking on Mickey Ward. He had like 34 something fights. He was known as he was a killer at that time. He was stopping guys with body shots, and everybody was like, "That's not a fight you should take. It's gonna mess your career up." Blah 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 blah. And we went in there. We trained very hard. I mean, we had a dog camp, and we won the fight.
And you would say that's the peak? That's where you were at the absolute best?
I mean, I was very sharp. My hands was fast. My defense was good. I mean, even in the Corey Spinks, sharp. I mean, a lot of fights, even in the Mayweather, the first half of the Mayweather fight, I was super sharp. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's different times. I mean, you know, even in my last Danny Garcia fight, you know, I came on very strong at the end, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't look at no fight and just look at one particular fight and go, oh, this was the best night, because every night is special to me. Every time I step in the ring, you got different things that happen, and, you know, you got to weather through them.
Paulie, same question.
I'd say it's been a couple of different times in my career where I could say, you know, I was at a pretty elite level, or I was getting there, you know. I think early on, before a lot of the bad hand injuries, there was a moment in about 03 and 04, the 2003 and the first half of 2004, where I felt like I was really coming into my own, winning fights and starting to look more impressive and really starting to get to a point where I was getting ready to fight high-level contenders. I felt, you know, I was starting to, you know, do a lot of rounds in my fights, again, the 10-round fights, winning and looking impressive. I remember I had a fight on ESPN. I remember I had a fight on Showbox at the time, you know. Starting to look real sharp and getting there. And then a real bad hand injury. My hand shattered, and I basically fought maybe three times in the next 2 years, you know, up until the Cotto fight. So, you know, it kind of set me back a lot, and I think it probably hindered a lot of my progress to have to come back from those injuries. You know, I always wonder how I would have kept progressing had I not had such bad injuries at that point in my career, because I really felt I was getting better and better. And I was, like Zab said, you know, when you're young, you're highly motivated. I was highly motivated at that time, and really, not that I'm not now, but, you know, you have that enthusiasm at that point in your career as well, you know. And then obviously there's individual fights. Like my first Love More Than Do fight, I was really sharp. My fight with Sinchenko when I won the WBA welterweight title, I was really sharp, you know. You know, I can pick nights where I've been sharper than others, but, you know, I can't pick one particular night and say, oh, man, you know what, on this night, this was just terrific, you know, because sometimes you put it together real nice one or two nights, and sometimes you don't.
Okay, that'll lead me to my next question. Both answered very well. How do you capture that moment or those moments in this particular fight? Do you feel that you're motivated, given that you're going to do this in, you know, what amounts to your hometown against probably the other most popular fighter that's pretty much ever fought, you know, in Brooklyn, at least in this last, you know, decade or two? Can you maximize that and bring that to the table on December 7th? That's for both of you.
Who you want to go first, then?
Whichever one.
Oh, I mean, I'm highly motivated, and I'm ready to come in there and just do what I do. Like Paulie said, you know, I'm a very competitive person. I mean, as everybody can see throughout my career, I hate losing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, some of my early losses, I kind of went crazy and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I've learned to control myself over the years. But, you know, losing is just something that's not in my arsenal right now. And it's something that we're not looking forward to doing, and we're looking to progress and move forward. I mean, this is why we teamed up with our Golden Boy, Super Judo Promotion, teamed up with Golden Boy, and, you know, we're ready to take on the world. I mean, I think Golden Boy and Showtime are the two biggest. You know, you got the biggest promoter, and you got the biggest network out there, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, this is a place where Zab Judah needs to be, you know what I'm saying? Zab Judah is, pound for pound, the best fighter in the world, hands down, and I am going to show the world, you know what I'm saying, that I am the best. That's it. Give an opportunity, I'll show you. Paulie?
I think the motivation has to always be there. I think if you try too hard to summon it, you back yourself out. You know, I look at the fight as, you know, the preparation, the hard work, the dedication I put into the training, the hard work, dedication I put into my career. And, you know, I try to put my best game face on come fight night. You know, if you think about trying to match your best performances, you probably won't, because you'll be thinking about the wrong things. I think the focus has to be to concentrate and focus on the opponent in front of you, and you know, take it one round at a time, 1 minute at a time, and from there you put on some good performances without even realizing it. You know, I don't think the goal is to put on a great performance when you go in there. I think the goal is to execute a game plan when you go in there. Sometimes it comes out beautifully, sometimes it doesn't, but I think you can't go in there trying to put on a beautiful show. You go in there trying to execute. That's the right mentality, and that's what I go in there trying to do. I go in there trying to execute my plan every time I'm in there.
Okay, my last question is for Richard. Richard, you there?
Yes, I am.
Richard, what do you expect to see, given all the great fights these guys have been involved in and the different ways that they've won, and the resourcefulness, topped off by the fact that they're possibly, each of them, in their last great fight in front of their hometown?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say I feel that both of those guys are rejuvenated because of all the opportunities which are in 147-pound weight class. And you asked before the question about their best fight, and I think that for both of them, one of their best fights, and there were certainly many, is actually their last fight. When Paulie fought Broner, I felt he fought an absolutely a great, great fight, and I think he surprised most people.
Most people had as an easy fight for Broner. Look what he did. And that's not because what Broner didn't do. It's because of what Pauly Malignaggi did. And so I think he is right there at the top, and he knows the pride factor and, you know, what this win can lead to, how important this fight is. And the same is for Saab. I mean, you look at Saab fighting Danny Garcia, most people felt that it's going to be a one-sided affair. But look what Saab did. I mean, Saab turned back the clock, and that was like as good of a Saab as I've seen. And I think, by the way, the one guy who gave Floyd Mayweather the most trouble in his last, I don't know, 10 years or so, is Saab Chuda. I mean, Saab, when he wants something, he goes for it. And I know that he wants this one. He's going to go for it. So that's why I think both of those guys, their biggest fights, their best fights, were actually their last fights. And that's why this is such a meaningful showdown.
Thanks a lot, Richard. The fight that comes to mind for me is the Simon Brown-Maurice Blocker fight, where they both lived like, you know, maybe 5 miles apart in Montgomery County, and they went out there and they just gave it their all.
Yep.
So
I think really
thanks a lot, guys, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Mike Woods of Sweet Science.
Hi, this question is first for Pauly. Pauly, you've made no secret that in the past couple of years, one or two times, you thought about, well, you know what, do I want to do this anymore? Do I want to go through these training camps? And I'm wondering, how much has that popped into your head recently? Say you lose this fight, do you entertain the notion that, you know what, maybe this is the last time I do this?
You know, you don't give yourself a definitive answer when it comes to something so serious, you know. You kind of just, if I accept the fight, then I accept the fight, and I go in there wholeheartedly and train for it and do the right thing. You know, sometimes between fights, yeah, you'll be thinking, you know, or I'll be thinking, oh, you know what, I don't know if I really am up to train for another fight again or get into that training camp. But once mentally and physically I decide, okay, you know, I've decided to fight and we're going to train for this fight, you know, I kind of erase the negativity. You know, it's full speed ahead. You step on the gas and you go, you know. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, beginning of camp, you know, you're trying to get back in shape. You're like, man, why'd I do this? But, you know, then that competitive juice comes back and, you know, you start getting in shape. You start feeling sharp. You start feeling good. And, you know, you realize why you do this. You realize, you know, the things that spur you on, that motivate you, that drive you to do this, you know, the adrenaline rush, the excitement as a fight approaches, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you're not thinking about those negative things anymore. You know, you're thinking about, you know, all the positive things, all the fun this brings. You know, don't get me wrong, it's a hard fight, and they're always at this level. But at the same time, it's a situation where I'd rather be here than anywhere else.
Here than anywhere else. Does it make it more difficult because you have become such a highly regarded commentator? Because now you really, truly do have something to fall back on. Does it make it more difficult to say, ah, shit, I don't want to train like this today. I can just go and do my Showtime thing.
No, not the training. The training, I work hard, and not that, you know. But sometimes, you know, before camp starts, you're like, man, do I really feel like getting up off my ass and starting another training camp, you know?
Yeah.
But once I'm in training camp, nah, I do the miles. I put the hours in the gym wholeheartedly. No matter how difficult it is, there's never a time where I say, "Oh man, you know what? I don't want to train today because I could fall back on something." That's never happened, and nor will it ever happen. Because if that kind of thing does happen, you know, I won't go into a fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the kind of person that does something half-assed. You know, there's things I don't want to do. I won't do them. You know, nobody's going to make me do something and then do it half-assed. You know, if anything I do it wholeheartedly. If I don't do it wholeheartedly and I know I'm not going to do it wholeheartedly, then I won't do it. You know, there's nobody forcing me to do it. So nobody forced me to do this. You know, when I accepted the terms of the fight and I accepted this fight, I accepted it wholeheartedly, and I knew what that came with. I knew that came with the hard work and dedication that had to come with this training camp, and I put that into place.
Good stuff. Zab, you're 36 years old. Looked real good against Danny Garcia in your last fight. But I do wonder, are there ever times where you lay awake at night and say, well, man, I've been doing this a long time, 36 years old. This really could be my last fight.
No, I mean, you know, as far as the age, I'm my age is great. You know, I'm highly motivated. You know, you got one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. Floyd Mayweather, he's older than me. You got Marquez, mm-hmm. and just knocked out Manny Pacquiao with one punch. He's older than me. You got Bernard Hopkins, which is one of the baddest fighters of today's era. He's my grandfather. You know what I mean? So when you say old, what do you mean by old? I mean old by what? Longevity? I've been in the game since I was 18 years old. I've been world champion multiple times in different weight classes. So is that what you mean by old? I mean, as far as age goes, I'm far from old. I mean, some of the best of the world today is way older than me. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm highly motivated by once again, guys, the opportunity. You know what I mean? I want to thank Richard Schaefer and the whole Golden Boy staff and team, you know, for just even allowing itself to do business with my camp and myself. And I think that we're going to have a phenomenal time. I think that when people say, you know what I'm saying, your last time, I mean, your last fight, your best fight, I mean, this is not nowhere near my last fight. I mean, this is the beginning of a turn of a new leaf. You know what I'm saying? I am going to go in here and come out of this fight successfully. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, me and Paulie has got a great respect for each other and everything like that, but at the end of the day, it can only be one winner, and I am going to take that route. You know what I'm saying? I am going to take that medal of achievement. I'm going to step up and do what I got to do. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, is there any beef in there? Nah, ain't no beef, but we're both two competitive athletes, and you know what I'm saying? Paulie, my skills are better than mine, and I'm supposed to feel like my skills are better than Paulie's. And this was going to make December 7th a fantastic night of boxing. I mean, this is why the whole Brooklyn and New York City and the tri-state area, New Jersey, Connecticut, need to come out and watch a great night of boxing. I mean, you're going to watch two of the best guys today coming out of the tri-state area put on for you guys. So be there.
And Zab, last thing, I didn't hear it got cut off before when you're talking. You're talking about being pound for pound. Were you saying that you believe that you are the pound for pound best fighter in boxing today?
Well, that ever touched boxing gloves. Not today, that ever touched
today,
boxing gloves.
Today. Today you feel
yeah.
you are that. All right.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. And if anybody else want to put that title up, let's do it. Let's do it.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place you in the question queue. Our next question comes from Nube Urgiles with El Barrio News.
Yeah, this question is for you both, guys. You are very respectful to each other. I want to know what you admire the most of your next opponent.
What is what?
Nube just asked.
What
she said both of you are very respectful towards each other.
Yeah.
What?
I want to know what they admire from each other.
What do you admire most about Pauly? And Pauly, what do you admire most about Zab?
Number one, I mean, you know, I admire Pauly. You know, he's from Brooklyn, and he stands up with that Brooklyn pride. You know what I'm saying? He represents Brooklyn wherever he go. He talks about it and keeps it fresh in the people's ears and eyes. And, you know what I'm saying? I mean, number two, you know, he's a fighter. You know, I respect every fighter that has the heart and audacity to climb through the ring and take on competitive fights. You know what I mean? So you got to respect him as a human being. Yes, I do.
You know, the admiration I had for Zab came from, you know, trying to follow in his footsteps coming up. You know, I seen him accomplishing things that I had goals, those same goals in my mind to accomplish. And I watched Zab accomplish each and every one of them before me. You know, so it was an admiration and a motivator to see somebody from, you know, my city, my borough, accomplish these things and getting all this credibility and notoriety, doing the same thing that I do, which is boxing, you know. So, when somebody does it so close to home, you automatically get that admiration when they're older than you and you see them accomplishing these things because, you know, you kind of want to follow in their footsteps. So, you know, the admiration came from, you know, just being that younger fighter looking up to somebody like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe one more question.
And our next question comes from Gina Caruso with Boxing Head.
Hi, everybody. First, I have a statement and then I have a question for both of you. So what I wanted to say is even though you both took a loss on your last fight, you both put up one hell of a fight and both showed the world that you're a force to be reckoned with, the both of you. So I salute you for that.
Thanks.
And my question is for both fighters. Both of your last fights in the ring were with young, stronger, and upcoming fighters. what's your comfort level now coming back into the ring, fighting someone that you know and respect so much?
For myself, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a situation. I mean, like, it's nothing personal against Paulie. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's something that we got to go in here and do. I mean, this is how we feed our family. This is the game that we chose. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you know, my greatest motivation of this whole situation is, look, I just fought a 25-year-old undefeated young fighter, you know what I'm saying, one of the, you know, the best young 140-pound fighters today, and I hung in there. You know, everybody say if it was 30 more seconds, the fight would be different. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, that's where a lot of my inspiration and motivation comes from. You know what I'm saying? Just being able to still go toe-to-toe with these young boys like this and, you know what I'm saying, just show that when I do step up and I do focus my mind, you know what I'm saying, to focus on getting these guys, I do go in there and get them. So, I mean, with that kind of motivation, it is. What if I just focus myself 100%? I am the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
I think with me, the approach I always take is in boxing, you have to have a short memory. I mean, no matter how good a thing you accomplished or how low you can go as far as downfalls and pitfalls, you know, you have to forget about them, and you have to, it's always on to the next no matter what, you know, whether it's something successful happens or whether something negative happens, you know. So, you know, it's just a matter of I put whatever has happened behind me, regardless of the performance I put on with Broner, regardless of the decision that came out of that fight. You know, the Broner fight is done. There's nothing I can do about it. Nothing positive comes out of me thinking about it or talking about it. So, you know, the opponent now is Zab Judah. Like Zab said, it's nothing personal. It's as far as a competitive aspect is concerned. That's the guy in front of me. And that's who I intend to be successful on against in 2 weeks, you know. So that the game plan is to focus on that and nothing else. So, you know, you look at the body of work in both of our careers, yeah, there's a lot of good to take out of it and a lot of bad to take out of it. But in reality, you can only look forward. You can't look backwards. The past can't be changed. Only the future can be changed.
Thank you very much to both of you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you to the media, and thank you very much to the fighters, both Zab and Paulie. Terrific guys, thank you for your time. I look forward to see you all in Brooklyn, New York next week, and I want to wish all your families and your loved ones and all of you a happy Thanksgiving, and I can't wait for that one. All the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye. That concludes our call.
Thank you.